Welcome back to the Florida History Podcast. I'm Carter Krishnire.
And I'm Robert Bucciolato.
Robert, we're going to discuss the public university system in Florida, which is among the largest and best state university system. We're focusing on state universities today, not the state college system. So let's distinguish that. And this is a state university system which currently contains 11 state universities spread across the state of Florida. It was founded in 1905 by the Buckman Act, which effectively brought these state universities, the three of them together, in one system. At that point, there were three existing state universities, which were the forerunners of the University of Florida, Florida State University, and Florida A&M University. I believe all three universities had different names at that time. I could be wrong about UF, which I should know the history of that because I went to UF. But the other two had different names for sure. I think the University of Florida name was changed maybe in 1904. So it had just been changed from East Florida Seminary to the University of Florida. Florida State was the West Florida Seminary and then became a women's college. And Florida A&M was known as the State Normal College for Colored Students. And we've talked in a previous episode about a very recent episode about President McKinley visiting that university in 1899. And in 1905, it becomes the state university system with a Florida Board of Control. And those three state universities were the state universities until the 1960s or the 1950s, I should say, when Florida's explosive population growth meant that there needed to be state universities founded in major metropolitan areas. So what you had was a university founded in Tampa, which became the University of South Florida, and a university that was designated for South Florida, which became Florida Atlantic University. And those two universities, USF was designated in 1956, FAU in 1960, I believe. And Sam Gibbons, who was been from Hillsborough County for 34 years and rose to be the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee toward the end of his career in Washington, an incredible leader in the Democratic Party nationally. He actually, as a state rep in the 1950s, was the most instrumental voice in pushing for the University of South Florida to be established in Tampa. Also, there was a incredibly powerful, I don't want to get too deep into this, this is for another podcast, but incredible influence of the University of Miami at the state level in terms of state government. And a lot of hurricanes, or whatever you want to call them, UM graduates that were in the state legislature and still are, right? Still very influential university. One of the state it's the, I believe, the private university that gets maybe the most public money in the country. So because of that, Florida Atlantic University, or the university that was designated for South Florida, ended up in Boca Raton because the University of Miami did not want a state university in Dade or Broward counties. That was their territory, so to speak. Now, that changes a couple of years later with the founding of Florida International University, which was in Miami, or in the western part of Miami. But USF, as I said, was founded in the late 50s. You had New College, which became a state university in 2001 in Sarasota, a liberal arts school that was kind of had a special designation prior to that, founded in the early 1960s, as well as what became the University of Central Florida, but was originally a tech school, a state tech school that was to be linked kind of to the space program, because obviously Titusville, Kennedy Space Center, this is the space boom, right? This is when the space race is ongoing. So UCF is founded in, I think UCF opened in the late 1960s. It was originally a tech school, eventually became a full-fledged all-around university. In fact, yes, the UCF was founded in 1968, opened in 1968, I'm finding, as Florida Technological University, with the mission to provide personnel to the support to support the growing U.S. space program at Kennedy Space Center and Cape Canaveral Space Force Station on Florida's Space Coast. This is per Wikipedia, and it was renamed UCF in 1978 when its mission changed.
And you know, it's interesting because those are you know, UCF and UWF, University of West Florida. Those were the two that I think they began as colleges.
Yes.
Due to the huge amount of federal resources in the case of UCF, the space program, in the case of UWF, marine oceanography, they sort of upgraded to universities. And that was a very interesting time in the 1960s, because you had a lot of federal resources that were coming into play. And Florida was making a name of itself as not only the forefront for space exploration, but also for marine oceanography. And once again, you had the college system, the university system, rather, playing a huge role, because that was where they were getting their talent and their resources and their researchers from, was from this string of budding universities.
Yeah, so UNF opens in 1972, and to your point, UNF in Jacksonville, FAU, UWF, UNF, and maybe FIU and UCF, I'd have to double check on those two, were only upper division schools for the first decade or so of their existence, right? They only had juniors and seniors, and then they eventually, and they took in intake of students from the junior college system in the state of Florida. And to your point specifically about oceanography, because my father worked at my father's career is interesting. He was a half federal, half state employee. Half the federal government, 50% was NASA. The 50% state government was Florida Atlantic University. And he was in the middle of that kind of facilitation of grants and federal money, obviously being a 50-50 employee in that period. And the oceanography program specifically, Robert, is why FAU went from being an upper division university to a four-year school. And I neglected to mention, when I talked about Florida Atlantic University's founding earlier, that the first honorary degree from FAU was given to then Vice President Lyndon Johnson. So in a ceremony. So there was political pull also involved in that. Obviously, Florida, a very Democratic state at that point, and the Kennedy-Johnson administration courting Florida, a state that they had lost in 1960. So anyway, FAU was a full four-year school. They had graduate programs and everything already, but became a full-fledged university that took in freshmen from high school because of the need to fund that oceanography school, which is what I think FAU is really known for now, obvious reasons due to geography. Like I said, UNF in Jacksonville, UWF in Pensacola, same situation. So those schools build out as four-year schools now. They're all four-year schools by the time we get to 1990. But then you have explosive growth in Southwest Florida, and the Griffin family, Ben Hill Griffin, who we talked about a lot on this podcast, sells a lot of land to the state of Florida to build another university, Florida Gulf Coast University, which, by the way, is a university where everything is still kind of tied to the Griffin family. Even the arena is called Alico Arena, I think, because they're on-campus arena, because Alico, of course, is the Griffin company. And it's got that feel, and they've kept it very nice and wooded. Florida Polytech University is founded in 2012, very controversially. A state senator who is also a member of the Griffin family, J.D. Alexander, big Ben Hill Griffin kind of patron, family patron, as I said, because he's a member of the family, Gator, you know, big Gator booster. He decides he wants a state university on family land in Lakeland, right? So there's a state university there. So that's kind of, that builds out the state university system. As I said, New College, which was a liberal arts school, becomes a full-fledged kind of independent state university, de-linked from the University of South Florida in 2001, and New College is in Sarasota. Ryan Ray, friend of this podcast, who you've heard on here many times and is now the chairman of the Democratic Party in Leon County, he is a New College graduate. But Robert, let's talk a little bit about the politics of this. Unfortunately, this is something we have to discuss. 1965, when all these new schools, FAU, USF, UWF, these schools were popping up. We go to a Board of Regents system, which served the state university system and its growth well from 1965 through the governance legislation that made its way through the Florida legislature, education governance legislation in 2001. And part of this governance legislation was linked to the abolishment of the elected commissioner of education position, which was at the time held by Republican Charlie Crist, Republican to become Democrat Charlie Crist. So part of the Bush administration's view was Crist was already kind of going rogue, right? And as we know, would switch parties in future years and become a Democrat. So he undercutting the sitting commissioner of education who couldn't run for re-election, right? Because the post was being made an appointed post, and creating a new governance structure which would allow the governor and legislature more control over individual state universities was the goal of that legislation. And Senator Bob Graham is sitting in the U.S. Senate. He is a great champion and patron of what the university system in Florida had provided. Obviously, went to the University of Florida for law school, right? For graduate school. Am I correct with that? He went to Harvard. Undergraduate, maybe he went to Harvard Law also, but he had a connection, obviously, Gator connection, but just champion of the state university system. Also, by the way, Senator Graham, great champion of the University of Miami, which I mentioned earlier. But he is very, very, and in my view, rightfully annoyed by what is going on in the legislature. And he pushes an amendment to the Florida Constitution, which established a new governing body for the state university system, known as the Florida Board of Governors, which gave the university system an overarching board similar to the Board of Regents. However, they have not been as successful in kind of stamping out the political processes around the appointment of university presidents. So what we have seen is since 2002, many prominent Republican politicians. I mean, it started right away. The lieutenant governor of the state of Florida at this point is Frank Brogan, a Republican, ran with Jeb Bush as his running mate twice. And then right after they get reelected and this legislation goes into place, Brogan decides, and I should say in fairness, Brogan is and was an academic, right? And now he's the president of the University of Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania. But he resigns as lieutenant governor to become the president of Florida Atlantic University, to become FAU president. And it just has escalated since there, where we've seen numerous political figures, whether it's T.K. Weatherall or John Thrasher, or now Ben Sasse, John Delaney, right? These political figures tied to the Republican Party. Jeff Atwater hasn't become a university president, but he's a provost at Florida Atlantic. You've seen numerous political figures connected with the Republican Party, who's the party of governing the state, become important figures in the state university system.
Yeah, and I mean it's unfortunate, but that is something that is happening. It was an institution. The Regents was created at a time in the 50s and 60s where there was a real push to have a community college in every single city, to have a technical school in every single city. So they needed to have a governing board for all of the major universities to kind of see how these students, because there was now such a huge influx that were getting community college degrees, that were getting technical training, to how they might be able to springboard that education to four-year degrees and really try and find a way to get these universities to kind of cohesively operate together, because their payrolls were ballooning, their grants were ballooning. And so it was really designed for logistical reasons. And that was how it functioned for about 20 years, until you saw this real politicizing of events take place within the board. And now it is unfortunate, but it's kind of a stepping stone for a lot of different, not only former legislators, but also bundlers, people of prominence, lobbyists of a particular party. And so it's a situation now where it's becoming more divorced from academics and from the actual operation of schools, and to have the whole statewide structure have some sort of uniform message and operating process, to now being one of reward and fundraising.
Yep, I think that sums it up really well and explains why the process has become so politicized. And one last thing, I mentioned Jeff Atwater, former Senate president and chief financial officer of the state of Florida. He is not the provost of UF. He is a vice president, not of UF, excuse me. He went to UF, but of Florida Atlantic University. And by the way, he's a descendant of Governor Broward, so real kind of Florida royalty. CFO Atwater is now the vice president of Florida Atlantic University. So I misspoke on that. He's not the provost. A similar position, but he's not the provost. Anyway, thank you, Robert, once again, and thank you for listening to the Florida History Podcast. We'll be back with you next week.